Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Welcome, welcome to all of you online and here in person. Last week, we started a new series about the heart. The heart matters, and we're talking about the four soils that God talks about. And so before we do, I want to just get into it, and I want to pray really quick and just submit our hearts to the Lord and give this message to Him, all right? So Lord, we just commit this word to You. Lord, I've done my job in studying, but Holy Spirit, this is Your service. These are Your people. And Lord, we ask that You would say what You need to say and do what You need to do in this message. Lord, I pray that You bring Your godly conviction to our hearts, but Lord, also Your godly love and restoration as well. And Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your passion towards us, God. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. All right. So I actually had Pastor Michelle on the docket. I can't wait to hear from her, but I had to like kind of move her back because we recorded it. And then I apparently, remember how we had sound issues 2 weeks ago? So I sounded like a robot and you couldn't understand anything I said. So we lost the whole recording for the people online. And so anyways, I do want to do a review of last week just so that we understand what we were talking about. And so I'm going to actually go to the scripture first and then we will review as we go, okay? Is that good with you guys? We probably all need a refresh because it was a few weeks ago. I think it's every 2 weeks. So let's get into the word. Do you have your Bible today? It's important to bring your Bible. It's important for you to check out what I'm saying because I'm human and humans can mess things up. And you better check what I'm saying. You better go home and double check, triple check. And you better know that you know the word for yourself. Because when hell comes to hit your home and hell comes to bring tragedy into your life, this will be your anchor and you won't have Pastor Jess there with you. I'm here to fill you up, but you need to study this out. You need to make sure, and you need to double check that what God is speaking is bears witness with what He is speaking to you and to me today. So Luke 8, go with me to Luke 8, Luke 8, 4 through 15. We're going to read out of the New King James Version. It says that when a great multitude had gathered, that they had come to Him from every city, and He spoke a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, And as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and it was trampled down. And the birds of the air devoured it. Verse 6. Some fell on the rock, and soon it sprang up, and it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up around it and choked it. And verse 8. But others fell on good ground, and it sprang up, and it yielded a crop of 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Why would Jesus need to say that? Because they were gathering around. They wanted to be with Him. But did you know that even in this room, even in our church, that people come out of ceremonial reasons, but they are not listening? I can't even tell. Even my young children, these teenagers, you know, they're sitting there. They're like so mad when their friends have their ear pods in during Pastor Richard's messages. Like they want to like rip them out of their ears. And I'm like, you should rip them out of their ears because there's no reverence for the things of God. And so here's Jesus Himself standing before these people going, "You that have ears to hear." So today, I hope you have your listening ears on because God's going to speak to you. This is not Pastor Jess. This is the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, and then the disciples asked Him, saying, "What does this parable mean? Is this for us?" I'm going to skip down. Jesus talks in verse 11. It says, "Now the parable is this, that the seed is the word of God." That's pretty simple to understand, right? Verse 12, "Those on the wayside are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, lest they should believe to be saved." Now, that is the one we covered last week. And we talked about how then do we not allow the word of God to be robbed from our hearts? How do we not allow that seed not to be stolen from us? And there were two points that we covered last week, and it was we have to bind the word on our hearts. That seed is the word of God. What is binding the word on our hearts look like? It means that we've got to press in. We need to probably make some new patterns for ourselves. If we're not reading our word daily, that needs to become a new practice in your life. And if you don't understand what you're reading, all you got to do is ask the Holy Spirit before you start reading, "Holy Spirit, can you teach me from what I'm about to read so that I can read it the way that you want it to be taught and learned?" and then begin to read, and you're going to have a revelation of what God is speaking to you. We also talked about memorizing the word. Do you remember that? We had that. I told you the story about my grandma who had dementia, and I went to visit her, and she didn't know anything, and she was this woman who played the organ and was in church weekly and loved the word of God, and I saw her Bible sitting on her bedside, and I said, "Grandma, are you able to read your Bible anymore?" And she said, "No, I can't even remember how to read." My heart incredibly broke for her, and I wanted to cry, and she goes, "But don't worry." She goes, "I've memorized so much scripture that when I speak it out loud to myself, it edifies me, and it's the only time I actually have clarity." And it was like, whoa, there's power in the word. There's power in the word. So what does that mean? We've got to start memorizing scripture again. I know we tell our kids to do it, right? Like, our kids learn it in children's ministry, but do we memorize scripture anymore for ourselves as adults? Are we just reading it? Maybe we need to commit a period to memorize things out of the word so that we can feed our spirit man, and so that when the attacks come and when the hard times in life come or when the confusing places approach us, what we respond with is the word. And you may not, have you ever been in the moment where you're like, "I did not know I knew so much scripture," until you were in that moment, you're like, and you just know all the scripture. It's because you put it in. And so what you put in is what's going to come out. And so binding the word on our hearts, and God talked about that passionately and how important the word of God is. It is our anchor. It is our life source. It's what we live by. So if you cannot find it in here, you better not do it. And if you do the opposite of what this says, you're in sin. Just period. It's just so simple. It's not that hard. I know we want to complicate things and tell God how it should be, but it doesn't work that way. And so bind the word on your heart. I'm sorry, I messed up my makeup probably. Okay, number two, we have to guard our hearts because out of it flow the issues of life. And we have to guard our hearts because Satan is coming to steal from us. He's coming to take from us. He's coming to rob that word from your heart right away. He wants to just take it away. And see, God is warning us to guard our hearts. I can't guard your heart. You can't come to church and expect Pastor Michelle, Pastor Jess, Dr. Vanessa, you can't expect us to do this for you. You are responsible for your own heart and your own relationship with the Lord. And so what does guarding our hearts look like? There's so many different places that you can guard yourself from. You've got to watch the company that you're keeping. You've got to make sure that you are allowing what's holy in and what's not holy out. You've got to speak life instead of death. You've got to get yourself in faith. And there is so much scripture on this. But guarding your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And so God is asking us to not allow the seed of God's word to fall on wayside soil where it can be trampled and eaten and taken away by the enemy. And see, God's word is more powerful than we know. And he wants you to be built up more than you will ever believe for yourself. God sees you so much bigger and so much capacity and so much greater than you will ever see yourself. And see, we see God's love in all of this because for me, when I was studying this, I said, "Lord, where do you want to go with this?" And he said, "I need them to know how much I love them. I love them so much, I want to warn them that their hearts could become this way." You might be sitting here thinking about a friend that became this way, and you're going, "Ooh, now I know what happened." Have you ever had those people in your life where you're like, "They were saved. Like, I don't know what happened. How did they get here?" Well, you never know. You are not the judge of a man's heart. Only God is. But you will know them by their fruit. And what are they producing? And so what are you producing? Today, this is not for the spouse that you wish would change. This is not for the friend that you wish would be a different way. This is not for the coworker that you wish that you could tell really where to go and what to do. This is for you. This is a heart matter. This is for us individually. The Holy Spirit wants us to examine ourselves, to deal with ourselves. Because before we even require change of someone else, the Holy Spirit deals with us. And so I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to deal with us today. I didn't want to come here and tell you that. In fact, I was really hoping Pastor Michelle got to do that part. But as I got into this, and as I actually was talking with Pastor Sue about this, because she thought she was preaching next week on this one, so she studied it out too. So all of us are ready. And as we began to preach this, and I began to see Pastor Sue's notes, and I already had my notes, I was amazed at what the Lord wanted to bring to the forefront. And I believe it's really interesting in the light of where we're living as Christians. There's a new thing called Christianity woke. I think I might be saying that wrong. Woke Christianity. First of all, I hate when they use the word woke in that way because it's just grammatically annoying. But it is where they are coming alive to their liberal way of thinking how God will do things. And I'm just here to tell you, God doesn't come alive to the way we do anything. We are people that come under the submission of what God says. And when the word says it, we do it. When the word contradicts what we believe, guess what? We submit and we change our thinking and we line ourselves up with God and the way that God says it, and then we stay on the straight and straight. Because see, God is God. He is sovereign. He is just. He is holy. He is merciful. He is not a God to be played with, and he is not a God to be pushed around. He is not a God to be mocked. He is not a God to be self-righteous over and you think you're better than him. This is God and God alone. So when we're talking about the different parts of the heart of man, the only one that can talk about a person's heart is the one who created it. The creator himself, God. And God is calling us out. God is showing us the places where we could slip into, the places where we don't want to go. And so I'm going to talk about in verse 6, we're going to go to verse 6, and it says, some fell on rock. Now we're talking about the seed, the word of God. Some fell on rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered because its lack of moisture. We're going to skip down to verse 13. It says, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word of God, they receive their word with joy. Have you ever? Yeah, they're so excited. Maybe they're newly saved and they come up front, or they went to Harvest Crusade and they get saved and they're like totally on fire for like 6 months. And then what? This is what he's talking about. And when you hear, receive the word with joy, and those who have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. This reminds me of the Lord's Prayer. It's not even in my notes. I'm just going to follow God in this. Lord's Prayer. If you think about the Lord's Prayer, he teaches us how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. If we were supposed to pray this prayer every single day, it's probably the perfect prayer for you to start memorizing. Because it's telling you every day, lead us not into temptation. Because why? Because the tempter is going to try and tempt you every day. He's not a respecter of persons. Satan is on his mission. He knows his story. He's in his lane. And see, let me give you a picture of what I'm talking about. We moved into this house, and we liked this house. It was definitely an upgrade house from the one we had lived in before that we had to work a million times over and over again to fix anything, to go to the bathroom. And so we finally moved into a house where the toilet worked, and we had a backyard. And the backyard was beautiful, and it had a beautiful tree in the front yard, and it was growing. It was a new tree. And so the new tree was starting to wilt as we lived there. And I was like, why is that tree wilting? We're watering that tree. We fertilized the grass. And in the backyard, there were like these random spots on the grass. And we couldn't figure out what was going on. We were so frustrated. And so in this, Dan was like, we're going to fertilize. So we went and bought special fertilizer. And we bought, like, you know, that special water that has nutrients in it. We were like, we're going to become the green thumbs. Even though we were like, we kill everything. And so we started just babying this grass. And even though we babied the grass, it completely died. And even though we babied the tree, it completely died. And we were so frustrated, like, what is going on? So one day, my husband, he just got upset, and he's like, I'm going to dig the tree out. And so, like, he's in the front yard digging the junk out of the ground. And he's, like, throwing dirt everywhere, and he hits, and it's a massive boulder that was right under the tree. He pulls out these two big boulders. I'm not kidding, probably 4 feet wide, each of them, two of them. And the tree was planted right on top of these boulders. And we said, well, duh, that is why. So we have this big old gaping hole in our front yard. We had to go buy dirt, and we had to go buy the nutrients and put all the vitamins back in the soil. And then we had to put more grass around it. And then I got to pick one of my favorite trees, and it became that wherever I live, I plant one of these trees now. And they're called the Norfolk pine. They're like a pine tree that is like has levels. It's very cool. And so I planted that tree, and I was like, I'm going to watch this tree grow. And we went to the backyard, and we're like, I wonder if this is happening in the backyard. Sure enough, every spot that was dead, big old boulders. And that ruined our yard because the heat was so hot that those boulders under the ground would heat up and suck all the moisture away from the ground. And that no matter what I did, I was putting the good in, but it was getting sucked up, and it was being robbed from the tree, and the tree could not grow, the grass could not grow until I removed it and put good soil in that place. And that was such a beautiful picture of what God is talking about of the heart. There's this rocky, stony ground in the place of God, in our hearts. And how do we not become these people? I don't want to become the stony ground girl. I don't want to be that girl. I don't want to walk on unsteady ground. I want to be somebody that God can use. And I want to be somebody that's in this for the long haul, that God says, oh, they're faithful. I can use them. But I don't want to be burned up, and I don't want my nutrients to be stripped from me, and I don't want to be always tired and weary. Have you ever met those people? They're just always weary and always tired and exhausted. But no, I want to have my energy, and I want to keep going, and I want to be powered up by the Holy Spirit. And I want to know that when I am with my Father, that I am rejuvenated and nothing can be taken from that. Those are the moments that God is requiring of us. So how do we remove the rocky places from our hearts so that we can become a deep root in the Word of God? Number one, ready for this one? Get ready. Even you longtime Christians, get ready. You got to remove sin. Sin looks different for everyone. My favorite is, well, you know, they're a murderer, so they're a bad sinner, but they're a liar, so I'm not as bad of a sinner as the murderer. Can I just even the playing field right now? Sin is sin. And to God, all sin separates you from him. Any sin. What is sin? Sin is anything contrary to what God tells you to do. You say, okay, so your head is probably going to the Old Testament. Okay, so the Ten Commandments. No. Anything God says. Let me give you an example. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Okay? So then when we do the woman, woman, man, man thing, and then we get married, does that make it right? No. Why? Because God said that it's between a man and a woman. Crazy, right? Like, oh, he's that simple with this? Yes, he's that simple with this. When God says, do not lie, and you do a little white lie, or you fabricate a story just a little bit to make it sound better, what is that? That's a lie. And God says that liars do not enter the kingdom of heaven. You're going, dang, you are dropping some hard stuff on me right now. Because not one of us in this room, including me, is free from this. Every single one of us has to look at the word and look at our lives and go, I am a sinner and I have failed and I continue to do so, but I have a God who comes and rescues that sin and makes a way of escape away from that sin so that I have to continue is the key here, living in the sin in which I call okay. You cannot compare yourself to someone else. This is a personal relationship with your maker. And what is he telling you about? You see, the Holy Spirit loves you so much, he will give you time to work this out. Isn't that good? That's good news, isn't it? I thank God that he didn't like strike me dead when I was in the middle of my sin, because oh my goodness, that would have been really embarrassing, number one. But see, sin has to be removed because it does separate us from God. So the definition of this has been very blurred in churches right now, especially now in the woke culture. They are making churches for themselves. They're actually making Bibles for themselves. A few new editions have just come out lately. I'm not going to mention them, but you can look it up for yourself. And they are Bibles that have removed scripture completely about the topics that they are not okay with being dealt with on. Which, the Bible does say, in 1 Thessalonians, the Bible does say, in the Old Testament, do not take or remove from my word. So God knew this was going to happen, right? And so he's not shocked by it, but he warns us of that. And that's what these four soils are. It's a warning of don't be this person, because I've given you everything you need to continue and be blessed in life. So sin will go against the things of God. I have the Greek for you, and I might murder this, but let me try it. Harmatima, hamartina. Hamartina. I've like practiced this, and I just still don't get it. I'm missing the mark, and that is what the definition of sin is. It is missing the mark, okay? That's what sin is. It also means fail in our duty. As the lawgiver who is God, he sets the limits on man's freedom. Take that in for a second. Because we live in this country where we're like, we're free. We're free from everything. But yet God says, under me, you're not free from everything. You're free in me. But I set the limits and the boundaries so that you don't hurt yourself and go off the cliff and dive into sin and bring yourself into hell. Because I love you so much, I'm keeping you from that. So see, there's a limit and there's a boundary to sin, okay? So sin also is described as a transgression or overstepping those set limits. Have you ever done something and you just know that you went a little too far and you get that ping in your heart and you're like, oh, I got to get right. I got to go back. I got to go make out right. Well, that's good. That's the Holy Spirit. When you allow that to kind of, you push past that ping, you know, I think of my brother-in-law. He just bought a cute little new dog, and the dog likes to escape. And so he put that collar around him and that shock collar. So, like, if he passes the border, because he goes and, like, roams their neighborhood. So if he passes the border of their driveway, he gets shocked. Well, guess what the dog learned how to do? The dog learned how to endure the shock to go into the neighborhood and roam around. And sometimes I think we as Christians, we endure the shock of sin that wants to burn us and zing us and ping us as the Holy Spirit, guys. And you're pushing past the Holy Spirit. And you're saying, I actually say I love God, but I really want more of my sinful life than what God is asking me to not do. You see, there's boundaries in place. There's things that God requires of us, not because he's a mean God, not because he doesn't love you, but actually because he does love you. Love does have boundaries. Love does have discipline. Love does have consequences. Love does make a way home. Love does cover you. Love does restore. But love is not just this cuddly bear, you know, unicorn, woke Christianity. There's the hard stuff and there's the good stuff, and God is all of it. And the hard part is that nobody teaches all of it. Our churches do, and the people we love, that we believe, that we're close with, they believe that God is all of this encompassed. But you got to preach both sides. So you have a good understanding of who he is. And so when sin is coming at your door, you got to say no to that. You see, Satan is known as the tempter. He's known as a liar. He's known as the father of all lies. And his number one job is to take you out. So did you know you had an enemy? You're like, no, everybody loves me. I don't think that's true. Listen, sweetheart. No. Satan is coming after you. He's coming after your kids. He's coming after everything you are and all that you are. But God speaks to us and gives us everything we need to overcome Satan, because the authority and Jesus Christ who lives on the inside of you, if you've asked him to become your Lord and Savior and you've surrendered your heart to him, then you have the power of God, endued power, deity. Woo, come on now. This is the kind of power that both spoke and the world existed. This is the kind of power that tells the ocean you're not allowed to come up on the land. This is the kind of power that moves the circulation of the solar system. This is the power that's living on the inside of you. But we want to push past the shock and just maybe touch a little sin because it's not that bad. And God is saying, no, don't do that. You open the door for so many things. He can't protect you in that place. He can't keep you in that place. He can't guard you in that place. You can't hear his voice when you're in the sin. And you could say you love him all you want, but if you love him, the word says that you will keep his commandments. 1 John 3:10 says, let's study this out a little bit, because this might open our eyes up a little bit, and I almost think that the world needs this. We need to label this and put this out there. And it says, and all who have the eager expectation will keep themselves pure. But those are only the ones that have the eager expectation. Have you met the people that really are like, the things of God, okay, I like them, but I'm not really into. Well, God is talking to those that are hungry. Girls, you are here today. You are hungry for the word of God. You need the word to sustain yourself. You need the word to step up and become the woman that God has called you to be. So he says, for those that keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. That means that this is attainable. We can reach this goal with God. Verse 4, everyone who sins is breaking God's law. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. Verse 5, and you know that Jesus came to take away our sins. Isn't that good news? Everybody wants to amen at that part, right? Amen, he comes to take it away. And there is no sin in him. Verse 6, anyone who continues to live with him will not sin. You go, but I know people that have sinned. I myself have sinned, and I thought that I was living in Christ. I thought I was doing what was right. Listen, we all have our moments of weakness. We are human. He knew that we would mess up. This is why, right away, when you feel that ping, that's the Holy Spirit going, you just gossiped. You need to make that right. Go back and tell them, no, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have gotten into that conversation, and you need to repent before me. You see, God is going to ping your heart, and when you get the ping, that's the Holy Spirit, and he's saying, you come and you ask me for forgiveness. You don't have to come to the altar every time, girls. You have the authority. You are his child. You get to approach the throne. Isn't that good news? And you ask the Lord for forgiveness and say, please forgive me. Help me to do better next time. Guard my mouth. Whatever it is that you need, you ask for, and he will help you through it, okay? And it says, but anyone who keeps on sinning and does not know him or understand who he is. I love that. They do not understand who he is. They don't understand his sovereignty. They don't see him as sovereign. They don't see him as omniscient. They don't see him as omnipresent. They don't know him as Jehovah Rapha. They don't know. See, this is why, guys, we're telling you to get into church so you can learn these things. Get into Bible college so you can know the depth of God's word. That's why get into as many services as you can, because you're going to learn what omniscient means and what omnipotent means. You're going to learn who Jehovah Rapha is and Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sitkenu. You're going to learn the old name scriptures of who he is and what he does for you. But if you are apart from the word and you're apart from his presence and you just give God the token relationship that you think you need to give him, you're not going to get this. And sin is going to make a way into your heart and into your life, and it's going to rob the word right out of you, and temptation will win. So dear children, verse 7, dear children, oh, I love this because he loves us so much. It's like he's contending for us. He's begging for us to hear this. Dear children, don't let. That means we have free will. God is not going to do this for you. You have to do this for you. He's given you the power to overcome the enemy. And he's saying, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. And how do you do that? By knowing his word. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous. Righteous means right standing with God. Even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make practice of sinning. I love that. Don't make a practice of it. Maybe it happens every once in a while, but this is not a continual thing that you are engaging in and that you are not actually breaking that curse. You're not breaking that power that the enemy has had over you, and it's something that you don't know how to do. Well, get help. Come see a pastor. Come get some spiritual guidance. Come and have someone in faith with you and believe with you. Confess your sins before each other. Sometimes it says, maybe you just need someone to go, hey, I need some accountability. I'm having a hard time in this area. I think I get it, and then I don't, and I just don't know if I'm okay. And they can be there as a godly friend to go, okay, I'm with you. Let's pray for this. Let's fight the enemy together against this foul thing that's coming against you, because these are attacks from the enemy. And he knows exactly how to get you down. Verse 10, so now we can tell our children that God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love one another, there we go, loving each other, believers, loving believers. You don't like the girl down the street at the other church, or you don't like so-and-so, you know, because they no, God is saying we have to love each other as believers. I think that's interesting that he's saying anyone who does not live righteously, which sounds right, right? But he's saying if you don't love each other, is God saying that's sin? Yeah. Because he's commanded us to love each other. So when we are at odds, when we're backbiting, when we're talking about, when we feel justified in our anger, justified in our pain, you need to deal with that, girlfriend, because it's separating you from God. And it's putting you into a place of compromise. And the enemy right then can come in and snatch away the word from your heart. And you're going to get twisted and confused, and you're going to go off on your own thinking, and you're going to do it your way instead of God's way. And this happens so subtly that people don't know, and so they're deceived. Okay, let's go to John 1. 1, John 1, 1. 1 John 1. 1 John 1. Okay, but if we are living in the light, ooh, I like that one, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. Hold on, God just finished those one verses about loving each other, and then now he's saying, but if we're living in the light, we actually can be with each other. Right? Now, there are times and there are boundaries that you may need to have where it's an unhealthy relationship and these people call themselves Christians, but they're not living it out the way that they should, and it's just not good for you, and the Lord says, hold on. That's okay. There are places and times for that. So go to Breaking Free. They will teach you how to do all that, okay? They will give you tools to equip you to do that. But then it says, and when we have fellowship with each other, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. What is that saying? God is saying we need each other. God is saying we've got to love each other. God is saying that we need to be connected, that because we together, we embody Christ. And that when I'm going through something hard, I can lean on somebody else. If I'm sinning and I go to Julie and I'm like, Julie, I don't know if I did. I think I messed up. And she's like, yeah, you messed up. And guess what? I can go make it right. Right? And instead of judging each other and hating each other, we can help each other through it and we can work each other through it. And if somebody's hurt your feelings that's a Christian, you go to them and you say, you know what, my feelings are hurt. Like, and if they don't want to listen and they want to just only justify themselves and only like point the finger at you, it may not be the time, but at least you tried. And then you go before the Lord and you ask the Lord, Lord, I pray that you would bless them, that you would heal their hearts too, because obviously there's something there. But Lord, I ask that you would cleanse my heart. And you would help me to move forward and help me to walk in love. And I forgive them and I release them. And I just, because you don't want to stay in sin. You see, God is dealing with us. Because the heart, these are heart matters for women especially. We love our children. We love our families. We love our friends. We are the ones that make the atmosphere. We are the ones that create these places, right? And what hurts us the most? People. Because we are the ones that take care of them. We're the helpmate. We come alongside. And when a woman's heart is damaged, whoo, the enemy can really wreak havoc on it. But I believe God is like, guard your heart. Love each other. Let my blood cleanse and let my blood wash away any sin that can be there. Verse 8, if we claim to have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves. Dang, that's a hard one. And not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. Verse 10, if we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar. That just, like, I would just want to be like, oh, Lord, please forgive anybody who's done that. Like, I can feel the fear of God on me right now for that one. And showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Dear children, I am writing this so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous, right standing with God. He himself is the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb that we've talked about, that atones our sins, and not only our sins, but the sin of all the world. That's the God living on the inside of you. So he's saying, put away sin so that you don't fall. And how do you remove the stone? You put away sin first. You get rid of it. Oftentimes we, God's children, are plagued by our sin. And it gnaws at us. It bugs us. It's always there. Have you ever noticed that? If you don't deal with it, it will always be there. You're going, I'm wondering if my husband is my sin. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just something that you can't get rid of. It's always there. You're trying to deal with it. And I'm telling you, you got to deal with it. If you don't deal with it, it will deal with you. And what I have seen is people don't deal with it at a young age. And then in their older age, when everything is gone, I'm speaking to the older women for a second, because I've been observing all ages lately and living this out. When you are young and there are issues and you just do life because you're busy and you have work and you have everything to keep you busy in it. But then when you get older and all those things go away and you haven't dealt with those things will deal with you. And they will come back. And they come back and you're going, I don't understand what's happening. And then all of a sudden your kids are like, what is going on? What's happening to mom? She's crazy. I never know mom this way. No, because mom never dealt with whatever happened in her childhood. And God is trying to pull these things out of our, these are stony places. Breaking free. It's coming back around. I'm telling you, deal with it. Because generations depend on it, guys. Generations depend on this. I had none of this in my notes, so just to see sin and defect in our lives requires that we move up to God. I've got to move up. I can't stay in the same place. I got to get closer to God. I got to get away from the world, and I got to get closer to God. I got to come to a higher level in the things of God and not in the things of this world. I've got to put more of God in than I do the world. And that requires planning. That requires being conscious about that. I'm really going to hit this. I only have 2 points, so I'm taking my time. Because I believe that we're going to hit some scripture. This is called Women's Bible Study. So if you don't like me reading a lot of scripture, you can find another place. Because I have nothing to say, but the Word has everything to say. So I've got some more scriptures for you. In fact, I had to cut out half of them. But here we go. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will come, also make the way of escape that you will be able to bear it. That is good news. So God is promising those that he loves, his children, you, daughter of the Most High God, that when temptation comes and that sin comes creeping at your door, look for a way of escape out of it. Because he's going to provide that path for you. So many times we see that escape and we go, well, we don't like that plan. I don't like that plan, God. Let's think of something different. And the Lord is like, that is the plan. That is the only way because that's my way. And we miss the mark. And we allow ourselves to fall back into sin again. And then we are not hearing the voice of God. We're not in the will of God. We aren't seeing things through the eyes of God. And all of a sudden, we start damaging people around us. And we start damaging layers of things in our hearts and in our lives. And guys, there's too much contingent upon hearing the voice of God. There's too much contingent upon being right in the presence of God. And he's saying, I will make a way of escape for you. It reminds me of the time when I was beaten up, I was bloody, I was a mess. I thought I was dead. I was knocked out for so long and then dragged to a room. And when I woke up, I looked in the mirror and my face was unrecognizable. And I heard the Lord speak to me right before I got knocked out. Yes, I was an abused, not by Dan. Dan is like amazing. But an old boyfriend. And I thought I was dead. And I heard the Lord speak to me before that moment of major beating and whatever happened in the process with that. And I heard the voice of the Spirit say, scream. And I said, if I scream, he's going to kill me. He said, just scream. And I did. And the last thing I remember is a lady standing at the door screaming, let me in. I heard her. Let me in. And she came into this apartment and she ripped me out of that apartment. I believe she was an angel from God. I believe he sent a way out. I believe he rescued me in that moment. You might have your own story. You see, you might have your own. He makes ways of escape. And after that, when you have been burned by hell so much, I never want to touch that fire again. I never want to get close to it. I can smell it, and I'm like, nope, I'm good. Because I've been burned too much. And now I've experienced the goodness of God. He makes a way of escape. James 4:8-10. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Do you notice it doesn't say God draws near to you and then you draw near to God? No, God wants us to have a place in this relationship. Have you ever been in a relationship where it's very one-sided? And it's like, I'm always the one that has to call. I'm always the one that has to do everything. And then if I don't call, they don't call. Like if I, you know, don't get bitter. All right, write a letter. It's not like that with God. But God needs to know that there's some effort on our part. That we're making a way, we're working hard to keep sin out of our lives. This is until we die, guys, you're going to have to work on this. It's not like you say yes to Jesus and it all goes away. No, you say yes to Jesus and the attacks come and you got to fight sin and you got to fight temptation and you are in a good fight of faith your whole life until we are free when we die and we step into heaven for our eternal life at the right hand of God. This is what it's about. So get ready for the battle. You got to fight this out. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. I've had some conversations this year where I'm like, huh? That's not what the word of God says. But you call yourself a Christian. Like, I have been dumbfounded by Christians. And I don't want to be judgy, so then I just go into my prayer closet, like, writing 10 million letters. And so, just Lord, help me work this out because this is not what your word says, but this is what they're saying out of their mouth. And it was confusing. Anything that's confusing, listen, if it's not lining up with this, it's not right. It's very simple. Now, if you want to make it something else, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way with God. They are making for themselves churches and their itchy ears, telling themselves what they want to hear. Romans, if you want to know where that comes from. Okay, James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. But verse 9 says, lament and mourn and weep. Whew, for your sin, you got to lament. You got to be broken before God with our sin. We have to understand that the presence of God is holy. And when we come into the presence of God, that we are not coming in as perfect, but we're coming in as unholy. And God cleanses us and he washes us and he makes us clean. And he wants us to be broken over our sin. There's a difference between people that are caught and people that actually admit what's going on and they want to get right. Have you ever had those people like, when my son, don't tell him I'm talking about him. So he was like telling his teacher that he's in the car and that's why he can't be on the Zoom class. I just really hate online school. And so she calls me and she's like, were you in the car today? And I'm like, not today. And she's like, okay, well, he's not showing up for class. So then he was like, not going to tell me this, right? Like, I'm thinking Mike is a good boy. Mike is a good boy, but Mike has his flaws too. And so we caught him. And you know what? He was broken. He was sad. He wanted to make it right with us. And he never did that again. But if I wouldn't have caught him, would it have continued? And see, I think what God is asking right here is, can you be a lament? Can you be broken before me and not be caught? Can you catch yourself and bring yourself to the throne room and put your sin on the altar instead of me having to do the awkward work of catching you in this? And making this very uncomfortable, and what ends up happening, I've watched it. People blame God for their sin. It's crazy to me. And it's like, okay, well, you didn't do it his way. It doesn't work that way. So we have to be lament. We have to weep. We have to mourn over our sin. Let our laughter be turned to mourning. Wait, that's not what I want to hear in church. No, it is. We need to mourn our sin. It needs to be something that can't be a part of us. We have to die to it and let your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You see, no one can lift you up out of sin but Jesus Christ. And when you come as a broken vessel before him, he's the one, the potter, who wants to put you back together and mold you. You see, you come broken. What if he molds you back into something more beautiful? Because that's what he does. He refines. He makes better. He makes stronger. He builds you up in a newer way. He's not going to let you remain the same. He's going to grow you up. He's going to build you up. He's going to equip you up. But you got to bring that sin to his throne. And God says, thank you for that. Now I can do my work in you. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. So many times people call this judgment. Now, God is the judge. So if God is bringing judgment to you, which is conviction, you better listen up. You better listen up, because we will all be judged at the end of this. This action is required afterwards. Pastor Sue, these are her notes, and she did really, really good, so I used them. So it says that the Holy Spirit brings conviction, and that action is required after that. Have you ever felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit about something you've done? And you're like, I got to make that right. I got to go fix that. That's good. That's really good, because you felt the conviction, and then you went and made it right. But you cannot brush this off. We talked about that ping. And once that ping happens and you ignore that ping, eventually you will find yourself disinterested towards the things of God. When you push back like that dog, you know, and you just like push through the shock of it. You push through the shock of the Holy Spirit dealing with you. You're going to get disinterested in the things of God. You're going to have a hard time, and you're going to be uncomfortable in church. And you're going to really hate being around on fire people. So you go, oh, is that what happened to my family member? Is that what happened to my friend? Maybe that's what happened. I was uncomfortable for them to be around. Where you never saw it that way, but maybe that's what happened. You see? But then here we go. Once you have repented, strengthen yourself, girls. In this area, do not yield to condemnation. Conviction is one thing from God, but condemnation God died on the cross for your guilt and your shame. You do not need to live in this condemnation once you've repented and you've asked God for forgiveness from your sin. Guess what happens? He forgives you and you are just before him. So that condemnation is something people live in. So they walk around as like these Christians that have this big sign on them that's like, I'm a sinner, and everybody needs to know. No, we're all sinners. There's not one Christian that isn't. But condemnation is something they live in. And don't do that. Don't allow the conviction to tear you down and build you down. It gives you an opportunity to clear the guilt and shame. That's what condemnation says, that there is no hope for clearing up what attempts to define you. You're this and you're that, and you will never change. If you have repented, you have moved forward with God, and you are on your path to restoration, and you have people in your life still holding you back and constantly putting those sins in front of you, it's probably not a good crowd for you to be around while God is healing you. You got to change your crowd. Okay? So that's just a little free tip for you, because they will keep you in condemnation. And that's not God, because God forgave you. God loves you. He made a way of escape for you. So we're going to do something totally not normal here. But I wanted to give an opportunity for those of you that do not know Jesus Christ. And you go, I've been a sinner. I need to get right with God. I'm not even going to give a big altar call. If you want Jesus in your life and you want to run from sin today, and you want to walk away from it, I want to give you an opportunity to get right with God right now, this very moment. And so if that's you, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, this is what I'll do. I'll say 1, 2, 3, and I'll ask you to raise your hand. If you're in your car, if you're watching on you know, in your house, and you want to make yourself right, if you're in this room, get ready. On the count of 3, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, and you want to turn from sin, and you want to walk with him the rest of your days, I'm talking to you. If you have been lukewarm, and you've been doing more of your thing instead of God's thing, and you're going, I need to get right, like, I've been playing games with God, he knows. He's waiting for you to come home, but you got to draw near to him first, and he will draw near to you. Get ready. On the count of 3, I'm talking to you. If you were just kind of checking things out, not sure about God, not sure, looking at all religions, looking at all different things, but today you have heard the truth that God is God. He is just. He is the only God. He is the one true God, and he will not be mocked. And you want to get right with him, and you want to do this, then today is your day. On the count of 3, get ready. Okay, get ready, girls. On the count of 3. 1, 2, 3, go ahead and raise your hand if you want to get right with the Lord today. Do not be ashamed. This is a safe place that God loves you very much. And all of us are sinners, as we've heard. So we're all saved in this room? Awesome. So for those online, so help me out, girls, because I got people in 2 places. We're going to pray this prayer quickly. And if you were embarrassed to raise your hand, that's okay. God knows. And you can repeat this prayer. And so can you all help me and pray this prayer with me for the girls online that want to get right with God? All right. Dear Father God, I come before you today. And I ask that you'd forgive me of my sin. That you would cleanse me. That you would wash me. That you would fill me, Holy Spirit. That you'd become the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you that today I walk away from sin, I walk away from hell, and I step into a new relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Awesome. Can we give him a hand? Beautiful. We're not done yet, so let's get into point number two, and then we're going to break away to our groups, okay? Point number two. Now that we've dealt with the sin issue, right, we now understand it. Number two, how do I not allow this rocky ground to be robbed from me? How do I not allow that ground to rob the word from my heart? I've got to dig my root deep in him. I've got to have my roots deep. So you got to take a deep root in God. How do I do that? How do I take a deep root in God? Number one, you just did it, girlfriends. You came to church today. You have to make an effort. But I don't feel good. I'm tired. We can make every excuse in the book. But I'll tell you, when you push past your flesh and what's comfortable and you seek God, God sees that. And guess what happens? He meets you there. It's so cool. There's been so many Wednesday nights or Sunday nights that I'm like, oh my gosh, it's been the longest week ever. And I could just stay home. I mean, I'm not preaching. I could really just take a break and probably get caught up on my laundry. And I'll hear the Holy Spirit go, you could. And I know what that means. And it was like, no, I want to be with you. And then I go and I have this God moment. And I'm like, if I would have been home, I don't think I would have had that moment. You know why? Because I actually got out of my comfort zone and I said, I'm going to give this time to you, God. I have some amazing friends that the Lord has brought into my life, but I was in a conversation and I'm going to tell his story, but I won't say his name, but his wife is in the room, so she will know this story, but I'm going to use it because he was talking about how he heard an alarm go off in the house in the middle of the night, and he thought, oh, somebody's alarm's going. He got up. He said, there was no alarms going off. And he heard the voice of God say, you have robbed me. He's like, what do you mean I've robbed you? I'm a tither. I love you, God. I give everything to you, God. And God said, you have robbed me of time. He said, "Yeah, what is 10% of your time of your day? So he did the math. He was like 2 hours and 40 minutes. He goes, do I spend 2 hours and 40 minutes with God? And he goes, I don't know if I do. Now, listen, that could get legalistic, right? We could be like, okay, you didn't spend like 2 hours for you, just 2 hours and 30 minutes. But I think the point of it was I want some time with you every day. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, not just on Thursday mornings, but I want to be in fellowship with you all day long. That I have thought about that story every moment of my day. Because I thought, Lord, how do I do that? I have school and I have work and I have to be in these meetings. And he said, this is how. That when you are cooking for your family, pray over that meal and bless it. When you are in a relationship with a friend or having coffee with someone, bring me into the conversation and be built up in that. When you are driving by yourself, turn off the radio and start to pray. When you are in relationship, like with your husband, know that that's a sweet fragrance to me. That's actually worship to me because I ordained marriage. So see, God's saying all of our day needs to be that time with God. Everything we do. I was dealing with something personal, and I was struggling with it and going, God, I need you to help me. I don't like this. This is not comfortable for me, and it's making me uncomfortable. And he says, but will you do it for me? And right when he said it, I was like, yeah. Okay, now I can do it. Because I love you so much, I can do anything. And now I'm excited about doing it. But if I was doing it on my own, in my own will, in my own power, no way. Forget it. I ain't wasting my time. But because he asked me to do it, because of him, guess what? I'm good. I can do it. What does your roots look like? What are you investing into your relationship with God? Those deep roots that are so deep that they're going to anchor you so good that when the trials come, when the hard moments come, when those places of quietness from heaven, have you had those moments? You will still be able to be anchored and you will know that God is God and God alone will keep you and walk you through the worst places and the darkest moments. But it's what you do to invest into your relationship. What you put in is what you'll get out. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Take a deep root. Psalms 1:3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in due season, and the leaf does not wither. I love that. And in whatever he does, he prospers. This is what God has for you when you take deep root. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. I think about 2020 and when this all hit and we were coming through it, Dan and I were like, are we going to be able to like keep the doors open? Are we going to be able to, you know, keep our staff and keep them employed? What are we going to do? I mean, I don't think you guys realize we had 167 staff members that we're responsible for. We have budgets that are beyond probably what you could even think that we deal with daily in the millions. We have this facility that needs care, that's getting old, that's breaking down. We have traumatic, this is just the business side of it. Then there's the spiritual side, there's emotion, there's the people side. It's a lot. And when Dan and I were going through this, what did we do? We dug our roots deep. Our roots were already deep. And I have to tell you, we come out of 2020, this church came out of 2020 better than we went into 2020. God was faithful. He was good to us. He was our anchor. He covered us. He took care of our people. Every person has kept their job. If they've left because they want to leave. But it's not because they were fired. And it's not because we were in dire straits. It's because God is more than enough and he will take you through the storms. But dig your roots deep, so that when those things come, you're okay. Colossians 2, 6 through 7, therefore you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, that's good news, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed with overflowing with gratitude. If there's not a root that is deep, you're going to get taken out by temptation. That's what this parable, this part of the parable is talking about, that rocky ground. That seed is going to come, that temptation is going to come to your life, and it's going to rob the word from your heart. And the sin and the way of the world will be louder than what the word says. So you've got to dig deep so you know what the word says. There's a beautiful story. It says, several years ago, a man reported his observations of the effects of a hurricane in the southern Gulf Coast. He walked up and down the ravaged streets, and he observed the palm trees that were totally uprooted and flung about, and one was tall and majestic, and their root systems were too shallow, so they could not withstand the hurricane, and they were flung around all over. But as he produced, he came upon a lone oak tree, and the leaves had been blown away, and some of the smaller branches were ripped off, but the roots had gone so deep that that tree was able to hold its position. In due season, it would again produce leaves. So it is with us that when we endure in times of great stress and difficulty, we must beforehand have been put down into depth in our character, and we will be sustained through those trials. Our roots have to dig deep. You see, you got to pour in the word of God. You've got to make healthy patterns in your life. So when the stress and the trials come, when the temptation comes knocking at your door, you will withstand like that oak tree and you will not be taken out. But the enemy will try, but you will not be taken out. How do you do this? How do you dig root? How do you dig deep? You got to read your word, guys. You got to get the word in you. Come to church. Fill your spirit man up. Fill your spirit man up. Have godly friends that build you up. This is why we're producing tables, because we're like, people need to enjoy each other again. They need to see each other again. They need to talk again. They need to pray together again, because these are things that build your heart up. It doesn't tear you down. It builds you up. Remove the ungodly patterns of life. In this 2020 season, were there things that were let into your home that shouldn't be there? Were there things that were let into your thought processes that you're going, you know what, those things have consumed me, and it's not the word of God. I've got to get onto what God's word says and not what those things are saying. You see, God is asking us to make him the forefront of our life. We've got to build new, strong, godly patterns and new, strong crowds. You go, what does that mean? Maybe you got to get rid of some of the people that have been tearing you down in your life. And God is asking you to begin to build up a new crew of people in your world. What does that look like? I don't know. But begin to ask God for new friends. I did, and God was so good to me. begin to ask God for new relationships. God has been bringing really cool people into our lives, and I'm just like amazed by it. And so God is faithful in these things. And maybe you've been hurt, and maybe you've been damaged. Maybe you know it's an old husband and that marriage was horrible and you never want to get remarried again. But what if God has someone beautiful for you? What if it's a healthy, godly relationship? You see, don't close yourself off to what God wants to bless you with. Create a prayer list for yourself. Sometimes you get into prayer and you don't know where to go with it. You're like, I don't remember anything right now. Maybe you need to write a prayer list. And so you can, during the day, go, okay, I'm going to hit this up at lunch, and I'm going to hit this up, or I don't know. I can't tell you how to do it. You got to make your own pattern. But maybe a prayer list will help you, especially for you type A personalities. A list is always a good thing. So make a prayer list. And support what God loves. That's humongous. God's word says, love what I love and hate what I hate. And God is asking us to defend the word of God. Guys, that's not just my job. That's your job as Christians. That we are defenders of the word of God. We are gatekeepers of our hearts. And that we're not going to allow the stony places to be robbed from us any longer. But we're going to dig our roots deep. We're going to remove the rocks that would take the place of God in our hearts. And we're going to be what God wants us to be. All that he's equipped you to do. You got this, girlfriend. You can do this. So what did we learn from this little part of the parable? To remove sin from our lives. And to take a deep root in what God says and who God is. Did you get something from the word today? Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.